Welcome to Tea Party Media, episode 11. My name is Martin Lindeskog. Hi, Martin, or Namne, as you say in Swedish.
Hi, Martin.
Yeah,
nice to be here.
Same name. The warrior, as you say, that's the original name of Martin.
Ah, nice. I didn't know that.
And it's, how do you pronounce your last name? Moritzson?
Yeah, and in Danish, I would say Moritzson, and in English, I'd say Moritzson or something
I had a friend in New York called Morris Markowitz, and that's similar, you know, name. So we are here today talking about your new version, we could say, PodFriend. And I also often start out with some, in a way, to icebreak, but also, you know, to get the party going. I have my tea here from China, like black tea that is very, have a aroma with mineral tones and a bit, you know, not smokiness, but it's a character, but still it's very good daily tea that you could use. But I bought at a tea shop in Gothenburg. So I will ask you about what's your favorite beverage. Is it tea or is it some other beverage?
So it's not tea. I don't really like tea. Unfortunately.
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah. My wife drinks a lot of tea sometimes. It comes in periods. I actually drink, in Danish, it's called saftevand. So it's like where you mix like one part like juice and then
concentrated and then juice or saft.
Exactly. And then you add water, like five times water or something. Yeah. And then I drink that a lot. I have filled up my water bottle for this session. And then I also always drink coffee.
So that's like you could have like lingonberry or cranberries or whatever and then fill it up. So that's good. And coffee.
Yeah.
And I would say that directly if you want to say your location, but I've been to a very nice tea place in Copenhagen. But I don't remember the name, but it was an old style tea shop, but also a tea lounge. And it was central in Copenhagen. And I really enjoyed that. It made my day when I was sitting there and I got a teapot and good quality. I think I had from India a tea and enjoyed it tremendously. So that's nice that you have. And you have talking about drinks. We will talk about that also. Party. One bar called like a Hotel Central Bar or Hotel Central or something like that in Copenhagen that I got a tip from. Because they had a corporation in Gothenburg, they had this called in Latin. The name is like Spoon. So it's like a not coffee, but it's like a boutique chain. And they had one connection there in Copenhagen and very close there. So I went with the bus, you know, this Flex bus, and very central. So I knew how to find my way.
Yeah,
and then but I have seen a list there, and that. They were one of the top list in the world, I think, even the best bar. And it was like designed and interior, like a British style, English style with mahogany, this furniture, the leather furniture, and this bar that looked very cozy and nice and classy. And there I had a very nice drink. So today is like, I'm talking about this because soon I will launch my so-called last site called teaparty.media. And tea is my favorite beverage.
Yeah.
And party is to having fun, but it could also be the historical thing what's happened in Boston Tea Party in 1773.
Yeah.
And on December 16th. And then also media.media is the domain there, talking about new media. So that's why I want to have this, you know, repetit. And having repetition so you will remember it. And it's also to think, focus what you are doing. So good life with tea, for example, and to have a fun, have a party, and also drink tea. So, and today it's, what do you say? It's the song that I will include in the show notes called Bitcoin Pizza Day, because it's May 22nd. And on that day, around 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
It was a guy who wanted to buy some pizza slices or big pizzas, a couple of them, I think. for, was it 10,000 bitcoins?
Yeah, 10,000 bitcoins, yeah. Worth, wow. I think, $41 or something, yeah.
Yeah, but nowadays it would be a bit more.
So, a little bit more, yeah.
So they celebrate that. So, and a song, an artist called Sean Smith Solo, I have interviewed him, and he created this song called this Bitcoin Pizza Day. So I will include that in show notes. It's a very upbeat song, and we talk about blockchain and Bitcoin and how we should, in a light way. And I really like that. So that's nice to celebrate that a few days before my birthday on May 25th. So what's your party drink then, if you have
a party? My party drink? Well, it used to be mojito, but... I think these days it's just a nice good beer, like a lager or something.
Nice.
I enjoy craft beers.
Me too. Yeah. When you come to Gothenburg, I will tell you about a place called Three Small Rooms that have very good microbrews. And you are not allowed to, we have that expression in Swedish, so I don't know how you say it in English, but you're not allowed to buy a so-called a big, strong beer. That's an expression for the general beer that has strong alcohol halt. Often it's, back in the day, it was Prips. And, you know, Prips is now belonging to the Danish, isn't that the Danish, Carlsberg, I think they own
Prips now. Yeah, that sounds true, yeah.
Yeah. And then you have this other, you know, big Heineken, probably the best beer in the world, is their motto. And I'm all for it, but it's like 90% of all beers out there is this regular beer.
Mm-hmm.
And other microbrewers with some, you know, special taste are very small, but it's increasing. So it's good to hear that you like that kind of thing. I like, my favorite is margarita. It's a bit, you know, sour and sweet.
Yeah,
So it's like tequila and then Cointreau, this liqueur, citrus liqueur, and then lime juice. So
you need tequila media as well.
What is it?
You need tequila party media as well.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, that's that could be harsh. And then the third thing in this domain name, teaparty.media, what's your favorite social media, or where do you hang out?
Oh, that's a great question. So that's actually Mastodon. I hang out on podcastindex.social. I mean, I also have a Twitter account, but sometimes I forget to check it. I also have Facebook that I use, just for private stuff. But I can just see, 10 years ago, I would check Facebook every hour. Now I will check Facebook, like if I get a notification that my wife wrote me, I hardly check it anymore. And then I use Instagram for reels. I have a coworker and my wife, you know, we send reels to each other. I think that's it. But where I get most of my daily entertainment is actually podcastindex.social. And then I also use Reddit, but that's more for if I need something specific, like some information, then I'll go into a subreddit on that topic. And then
that was good that you mentioned Facebook, because now I will try to change the settings. It's in private, but there's the meta. So I will see if I could manage to do that. Otherwise, it has to be, where do I do that then? I don't know why it's doing
settings. Good question. I'm not sure I can help you. I think this is my first live show ever. I was once on the podcasting 2.0 show, but that was when it was not live. So that was an hour or so delayed.
So it should be somewhere that you could put the settings. And that's typical now when you try to do multitasking at the same time. Hantera. where is it? Aviserings. This is very good podcasting.
running very much with scissors.
Yes. So private, it says. Secretess, private. How do I change that? I can't change it. That's fun. So, okay. You're missing out, people, in Facebook. I managed to do it the last time, but this is funny. So we are running live on Facebook, but nobody else by myself will see it. So that's... But on YouTube and on what more? YouTube and LinkedIn.
Yeah. So,
but it's more like a test, and we'll come more about live also in the near future. So it's interesting that you said Mastodon, because I'm now getting it. But mm-hmm. I must say, at the first time I saw it, I was thinking, and we'll come, that's leading into how you create an app, for example. For mm-hmm. me, it was like Mastodon, it looks very 1990s or something like that. Yeah. I didn't get it. It was this dark background. It was this, yeah. The good thing is it's no algorithm, it's no stressing things. But on the other hand, it was like, what's this? I don't get it. So it took yeah. me a long time. And then, but it was good that I did it, because I didn't rush into it.
Mm. So but did you know that you can download? There's a lot of different clients for Mastodon, so but some good, some not so good.
Yeah, so that's why I'm waiting for the good reviews and so on, because I don't want to rush into it. I have so many apps otherwise, especially podcasting 2.0 apps that I want to test.
Yeah,
but I hear that it will come apps that are more similar to my, you know, Twitter or whatever that you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, I like to log in. And At one time, I had to log in almost every day. And then you have, if you have like 100 or whatnot, it could be a bit to scroll, right?
Yeah.
But if it's really so-called, not important, but if somebody tagging you, whatever, you will see it.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll get the notification.
You don't have to be stressed, but it will take some time to search for things and so on, but it will come to you. And I have a very, in a way, interesting mix of users that I'm following.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over the place, and all the spectra, political wise and whatnot. Sometimes I'm always like, okay, I don't, you know, like this. Should I block it, or should I remove it, or should unfollow, or should I let it be? You know,
mm-hmm.
I had somebody that's comment on me that I was sharing something, and then were commenting on this Tea Party media, and thought it was with modern Tea Party movement, like a political, and I didn't respond, because it was so out of blue.
Yeah,
and I said, okay, you could have that opinion, but if you don't really care to investigate a bit more, I don't have to respond to it either. So that's a good thing. And you can't do, even if I like it, but you can't retweet, so-called. You can't repost.
Or I mean, yeah.
Like with
I
this
mean,
quotation, like out of context thing, you can't do that.
No, I mean, you can boost things and of course the favorite, but I think, you know, Mastodon will also continue to evolve. Now that we also see Nostr, they're probably going to steal a few ideas from each other. And
I don't get Nostr, so do you want to say something about
it? So I don't use Nostr. I've tried, and I think I get how it works on a shallow level. And I did find like Adam Curry and stuff, but I tried to follow, but it didn't really work for me. I can't say much about Nostr. I saw some of the work that, you know, Dave from Podcasting 2.0 have been doing with the chat, where he's using that technology. I like that, and I like the concept. And I think as soon as we get like a, you know, for us developers, like some sort of class that we can just use, like a framework, so that we can implement it without knowing much about the technology, then I think maybe we can actually use it for, you know, live chats and things like that.
Yeah, and that's a good thing that you mentioned that, because maybe that will come in, we jump into that directly about, because you were one of the early, I've written that as a note there, early adopter. Nowadays, is it about 70 different application and services and podcast hosts and whatnot on these new podcast apps or new... Yeah, podcastapps.com also, that directs to podcast index and the tab on apps or applications.
Yeah.
And then if you then click, for example, if your operating system or whatnot, you could also click on apps or applications, then it may be plus 30 or something like that. But you were one with PodFriend, you were one of the first, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it was the first, but it was definitely one of the very first. I mean, I remember writing to Adam even before the podcasting 2.0 podcast was live.
Yeah.
Because at that point I was creating PodFriend and I was scraping the iTunes API, which is, you know, very gray zone legal or not legal. And certainly they had the option of, you know, turning that off anytime they wanted. And then I can't remember if I found it through like a search or someone told me, but someone basically said, you know, reach out to Adam Curry. He's building something, you know, you'll find interesting. So I wrote him an email, and he then CC'd Dave and say, hey, can we give this guy access? And I was like, yeah. And so I got access to the API pretty fast. And then after the first episode, between the first and the second episode, I made an open source implementation that I put on GitHub that used the podcast index API that, you know, people could take and learn from and you know, build their own applications. So I made that. And I think that it was a really good thing because it meant that other people could see like, oh, this is how we, you know, use the API and you can actually build something real on top of the index. And that was even before any new tax or the value for value and streaming Bitcoins. The way I learned about it was basically through the index. And for me, it was a game changer because I could get much more reliable podcast information for the podcast app.
Is it like when I talked to Mitch of Podverse, he said that he started creating his app because he wanted to do clips.
Yeah.
And then it evolved. Why did you start programming this app? Was it for your own sake or was it that you saw that with all apps out there, I see that, and especially like web browsed, that I see an opportunity here or... why did he do it to start?
Yeah, I mean, I always have, I historically, you know, my background is in programming and in my day-to-day work, I work as a product manager where I spend a lot of my time looking at product opportunities and stuff like that. And this time, I would say I didn't really look at the product opportunity that much, except just knowing that it was there. So it was for my own sake. It was actually because I listened to a lot of true crime podcasts and I had this idea, first of all, hey, you know, whenever they mention like a photo or something, and then they say, you can go to our website and you can, you know, you can see the photo. I was thinking, why doesn't it pop up in my podcast player? So that was even before the name space.
Yeah,
okay. Exactly. So I had an idea, and back then I just thought, oh, the only option to do it is proprietary, like doing it in my own app. But now, you know, the option of chapters is there. And then it was also because I used Spotify for podcasting mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And I also use Spotify for music. And for me, it's two very different things. I use music, for example, while coding, and I listen to podcasts while, you know, walking the dog or sitting in a bus or even also sometimes at the computer, but not when coding because I can't listen to someone talk and code at the same time. But Spotify treated this as like one thing. So I kept being annoyed that, you know, oh, I'm sitting coding and I press the play button and oh, a podcast comes, like, oh, now I have to find my music again. And then I thought, oh, you know, let me make something that works better.
And and there you have this elephant in the room. So Spotify, I'm a so-called Apple fanboy, but I'm very critical to Apple in a way, in a constructive way.
Mm-hmm.
And as Adam said, I mean, iTunes, that is now Podcast Index or Podcaster app, that's a standard app on your iPhone, have been treating it in a pretty good way, but they haven't developed it at all. But Apple Podcast or Apple Music, I know at least that the artist is getting more paid than other places.
Mm.
But when it comes to podcasting, when Spotify was doing that, one thing, and this now have become a debate, how should you listen to a podcast? But I'm talking pretty slow, I think. I could be exciting and talk quicker. And if people want to speed up, and if it's a long interview, I think it's totally okay to have a different speed if it doesn't sound strange. And like Overcast, you could do that with, and other applications. But then now on Mastodon, that been a discussion about that. If you speed up too much, you get stressed. And they have a point there also. But on Spotify, because music, you should only play it in one way, right? If it was not vinyl, then you could play it around and have secret messages or whatever. With the Beatles or whatnot, they were saying that they're doing special things. Anyway, but so they didn't have that feature to play on another speed. So because it was based on a music application, not the podcast application. And now we're trying to even have in the future maybe like audiobooks or ebooks and whatnot. And they really try, as I have this expression, and I'm for the free market, but they really try to corner the market to get this everything. And the listener, as Todd Cochran of Blueberry is saying, the listener doesn't really care, and especially the younger generation, right?
Yeah.
So here's a challenge. So that's what I like now when I've seen lots of new podcast apps, but you could pick and choose. And then, of course, you could go back to if you favor, you know, some of the old ones. I mean, Apple Podcaster app at the beginning, that was not the best app, but they have improved, right?
Yeah.
So, but now I want really to focus on the new podcast app. So it's again interesting how you come up with this idea. And I could say that to maybe find my niche, because as a new media advisor, I have to learn, you know, the different categories. And one of my things saying it's so-called 4 million podcasts out there, maybe 500,000 are active. It's about, is it 30 different categories? You have categories on your site also.
Yeah, there's a lot of categories, yeah. And yeah, I'm only showing a few of them.
Yeah. So if you start dividing, it's not so much to compete with, even if it's thousands of them, compared to YouTube, whatever. It's interesting. It's still open and still maybe in Denmark and Sweden, often it's on the top list of consumption. For one reason is like the internet and the speed of phones and so on. And also that it's that you the streaming thing, that you could do it pretty cheaply compared to others when they have this, they have their cellular plans and so on, and it could really, you know, be expensive. And we don't really think about that. And then, of course, maybe Spotify and others have been, you know, because it's one of the most used. So that could be one reason also. But I know, for example, that the true crimes and these kind of category is very big. And one of the one, is it Podme, I think?
Oh, you're thinking about a company?
Yeah. In Sweden, it's now owned by Bonniers, this big publication. But they started with true crimes, and also that you pay for it, like almost like an audiobook service, like Audible. Yeah.
And is it Podimo you're talking
about? Yeah, that's another one. But one in Denmark. But Podme is in Swedish one. And I often have it as a case that you could really do this profitable and also charge money for it. If you find your niche of listeners, and they think like a podcast, and it is a value, but they think it's almost like an audiobook, and say, oh, maybe it's 100 Swedish crowns or 100 Danish crowns per month. It's okay.
Yeah.
If I like all these true crime. And when they got popular, they have lots of course, they have investors and so on also.
Yeah.
But lots of paying members. And then they could, you know, buy new shows and hire and in order to have this content creation, like a really slick production.
Yeah, yeah.
And so on. So I see that market, but for me as a so-called sensitive, soft guy, I don't like to listen to murder and things and all these terrible things. Of course, I like Sherlock Holmes. I like Hitchcock was he was a master. But personally, but I have to learn about it because it's a really big category.
Yeah, I would say maybe, you know, when I say I liked true crime. Maybe what I really like is actually investigative podcast, documentaries.
So they want to solve a problem.
Exactly. And I think a lot of the
like, you know, this, that I thought was so-called, we call it cornflakes, or, you know, flingor in Swedish, you know, cereal. I thought it was cereal. Not this serious.
Mm,
and that was, we could joke about that now again. Then it was when podcasting was booming, because the mainstream media was writing about this successful podcast series that was very well produced and lots of new listeners, because still maybe 50% don't know about podcasting yet. Even if it's hard to know, think about, it's still a market out there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, sometimes we, you know, we know about it, and we are a bit in a bubble, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. You know, when I talk to, you know, my mom and her husband, they really love audio, you know, dramas and audio books, but they don't know podcasting. They've never tried it, and I keep telling them, just. You know, listen to this one thing, and then they're like, maybe, and then they never get around.
There you have one that I want to interview on our podcast, probably the Secular Foxhole, because I know he's outspoken about faith and that he's an atheist. Evo Terra, that is one of an old-time podcasters, and now he's very focused into the audio drama and so on. So he created the whole, his own website is now focused on that segment. Yeah. But he has been very prolific talking about podcasting 2.0 and other things. So it's fascinating. So with that,
speaking of Mastodon, actually, I followed that guy.
Yeah.
I don't really know who he is, but he kept sharing like irrelevant things, and then it's just unfollow because it pollutes the timeline.
So we will wave to Evoterra, and we could have a debate about that.
Maybe I'll follow him again at some point.
I think you should. And that's what I said, that I have this broad spectrum. Mm-hmm. I have people who think that I'm not interested in a way, but it moves on. And then he could write about like microbrewery, and I like it. And, you know, as a fun thing, he said something about beef jerky.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that, and said, "Have you tested this?" And he said, "Could you send it to me?" So I did it, and then he posted it, and it was very happy. So I liked that. So, but I understand what you're saying. I have some that are, so, as I call it, on the edge, because it's very, sometimes it's, I'm almost there clicking, because now it's getting, you know, out of hand. But I take a breather, and then it's gone.
Well, I certainly accept, you know, that people share whatever irrelevant things. When I say irrelevant, it's because I mostly use Mastodon for like podcasting subjects. But then when I follow someone, you know, that they may have posted something interesting about podcasting, but then when they, you know, 10 days in a row post something about like cooking recipes or something, then I'm like, oh, okay, unfollow.
And that's
and then later they will get another chance, you know, if they share something interesting and someone else in my timeline likes it or something, then
And I think that's a good thing that you could do it like that. And I joined, you know, his podcast index.social because I wanted to focus on the podcasting thing. And for me it was, which should I pick and how could you join? I mean, still it's an in a way, challenge, but
it's still early days in the user experience. That's for sure.
But it will come around. And talking about that, then the podcast more your podcast app. So PodFriend, how friendly is your podcast app? I see it's a funny logotype and a bit quirky. With the tongue and so on. Could you tell a little bit about that mascot or what you call it?
Yeah, I mean, the mascot was actually a friend of mine, and she made it for me. And because I asked her, like, could you try creating something, you know, fun and quirky? And then she made that. And we're like, oh, okay, that's now PodFriend. So, yeah, that's how that came about. And how friendly is it? Well, right now, I would say there's definitely work to do. And It's an ongoing project. Right now, I wanted the version 2 out there. But I definitely want to revisit like every single page in the app and think about, okay, how could this be more user-friendly? Of course, I have the challenge that I'm both on the web and on the desktop and on the mobile. So every time I make something, you know, it has to work on all on all platforms. And it's both fun, but sometimes it's also a challenge because, you know, I will have this idea, oh, you know what? While the episode is live, I can just show the chat over here on the side on the desktop. And it's like, oh, but how would that work on mobile? Then, you know, we need an icon you can press or something. Yeah, so.
And I was commenting on that. Now we're going back and forth here, but I was thinking about the interrelay chat thing that you could use. And then I clicked and I asked about you in on the Mastodon there and the chat, if you could move that chat because it's popping up and I could listen, but if I move around or something like that, maybe I would close it down by mistake. So I've used this other that Dave had done for fun because it was very old school. But I was, you know, what I'm clicking on here, and they said something long string, and are you really sure that you want, you know, will you publish this on Noster or I don't know, something like that. And I was, oh, what I'm doing here, I'm doing it right or not. So I like the, because interrelay chat, I know from the back in the day, so to speak.
Yeah. So that's one area where there's definitely a lot of work to do, both in the concept that Dave has made. I think I was to implement it in Podfriend, I would hide all of those advanced settings from you. Like maybe you would have an advanced tab somewhere where you could do some of those things so you could take your identity from somewhere else and move in. But if you don't know about it, it would just be a normal chat where you don't have to think about that. And then with the IRC internet relay chat you're talking about, where right now I pop it up in a, you know, in a window. As you said, like if you're on desktop, for example, it makes perfect sense if it opened up in like an external window so you could move it around. That's definitely one idea that I will steal from you now.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. and I must say that because I'm not a programmer. I know back in the day I could, you know, so-called program HTML, very basic, you know, websites back when you had to do it.
Yeah.
Now I don't have to do it, so I have, you know, forgotten about that. But I'm very, as Adam is saying, you know, give the developers time and of course you could push them in a friendly way and so on. And now I'm joking, that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because you were one of the early adopters and then others have coming around, and it's really a friendly competition.
I mean it's easy actually, because you know, the new podcasting apps like you know, Podverse, Podfriend, Curiocaster, PodStation, Fountain, all those apps. We are, you know, what, 0.1% of the market. And then you have the, like, the big players like Apple Podcasts and Spotify that are, you know, I don't know, 90% of the market. And then there are a few indie apps that you know, do have some percentages. But it's like, We're not competing with each other down here, like the indie apps. Well, maybe like in the podcasting 2.0 space, but that's friendly competition. But if we want to make it big at one day, then it's really the Apple Podcast and Spotify users that we are after. And I think some people are happy being a very niche podcast. Like for Podfriend, I do work on the 2.0. abilities, even though I know, oh my god, only, you know, 10 people will actually benefit from this or in the start, and then, you know, as it grows it'll be more and more. And then I try to balance it with like more user-friendly things. Like I have a long list of features that I want to implement, and then I hope to one day make it, you know, more user-friendly than, you know, Apple Podcasts, and then still have all those features in. But there's a long way to go, and I have a day job on this. so I work on it like evenings and in the weekend. I think I have the advantage of just being one person that like with both product and developer and designer experience. So I can move very fast. I hope to keep that advantage. And then I look very much forward to see, you know, where things will be 1 year or 2 years from now.
That's good. And I will now show for live a t-shirt here, and it's saying Podrunner. And it's not, in a way, it is a podcast. It's listed on a podcast. I think he is hosting on Libsyn. And that's Podrunner and Groove Electric. And he's doing DJ, and he's also an author writing mm-hmm. science fiction novels. And he has this that you could support him on a monthly basis, like Patreon and PayPal and others, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe not Patreon, I don't know, but PayPal. And then also you could buy merchandise. But I want to introduce him to this value for value and what will happen in the future, because he has to, you know, buy the rights for different songs or tunes in order to mm-hmm. mix them, right?
Yeah.
And doing different beats per minute and put it together. He has to have the rights in order to put this finished song mm-hmm. or how do you call it, like a mix album on digital. So if he, for example, has one, and I know that when I asked Robin Greenley when he was on Libsyn if he had been talking to this guy, Podrunner, mm-hmm. and now I forgot his name, but he has his newsletters. I really recommend to check it out, Podrunner.
Yeah.
Because it's lots of work to do that, you know, mix and buy the rights and putting it together with the beats per minute and the style. But yeah. I think, and then you also have this exercise or like mixes on different beats per minute of if you're running or if you're walking or whatnot.
Yeah.
But if you could do like what Adam now have done with this Wave Lake and also this, what is called now, Beats.
Oh, LN Beats. Yeah.
That now running up on the charts and so on because they are boosting it.
Yeah.
I mean, this could be very interesting and could come out of it.
Yeah, I actually spent some of the time today before our meeting refining. So the new technology behind it is the value split tag, where you define like, hey, this part of my show, you know, the value is streamed to this other podcast, and then they have their own value block. And I made it work in Podfriend right now. I think with like gaffer tape and a bit of glue. So I hope to release that before the Friday show, so that you can also use Podfriend to do that. Because I think Stephen from Curecast, you know, he's definitely been running with scissors there, and I think having one more implementation will just lend more credibility to the tag. So
yeah, that's good. I'm very happy now. I interrupt you, but I'm very happy to have used Curecaster also like a web, and he mm-hmm. was so nice to be with his Secular Foxhole. I send a small boostergram to him, and then he put our show on the like features or highlights.
Oh yeah, cool.
But again, it's this with the design, I could say it's like black background and white text.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't got into it so much, but I like it. So I want to test different ones. And then you could, of course, give positive feedback, but also, you know, be patient. And now he's working on this music thing. So it's very interesting how this plays around. So now on my one of my screen on my smartphone, I have, I don't know how many of these new podcast apps there are.
Yeah.
And I test for different ways. Like, for example, one I like very much when I wanted to have a clean interface and loading it, because I have an old phone. I have an iPhone 6S Plus, because mm-hmm. still you have a micro, you could put the microphone in, but knock on wood, the battery is, you know, getting there. But that run very smoothly, this mm-hmm. podcast guru. But now he is also starting with value for value. So it's interesting. And then, of course, you could support different with... Do you have a premium feature also?
I do not now, but I... You know, as soon as my app gets approved to like Apple Podcasts and like that,
that's a challenge to.
Yeah, and I found out with the version one of Podfriend that it was really hard to get it on the App Store because they gave the reason, oh, this could have been a website. I'm like, well, today anything could be a website. Yeah. Like I can recreate any app on a website,
and that's how iPhone and Apple have done it themselves. They have opened it up to that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's a crazy reason, but I'm guessing that they are just. It's almost like per default that they are denying new apps. You know, let them try a few times to see if they really mean it.
It's interesting, and I will then try to get you to the split on this show also, but that's also have been a challenge that I first did this Satoshi stream and had done this check mark, and then something, you know, and then I think it was James, and then it was Dave and some others that helped me in order to get it.
Yeah.
But then I saw Fountain coming along, and I really could see, wow, this is... So then I moved.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like Fountain, but also I have seen how they have had some, you could say, growing pain, especially on my old phone. I could see how it was very... but I had lots of podcasts on it and so on. And so it's interesting, again, how it plays around. And they have picked their way, this friendly competition again.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have others that adding this LB and wallet. So I think everyone will be able to compete in a friendly way with each other. And then this gamification, the lists, and so then we could, now we could continue because I interrupt you. But with Podfriend being as early adopter, and then now you do this new big version. Mm-hmm. And as you said, it is web-based, but it should be synchronized so you could use it also on a smartphone or others. But you planning to have a dedicated application also that you will download, or... what's your 100%. Thinking there?
Yeah. So with the version 1, I already had iOS and Android app. The iOS app was on test flight because they kept not approving it. And then I also had a desktop native application, both for Mac and Windows. And I'm definitely going to do the very same thing. I already have the desktop app working, and I think it will be 1 week, maybe 2 weeks, until I have the, you know, iOS test flight apps out. For now, it's just making sure that everything works on web, because then I only have one platform to think of right now. Because, for example, one of the new things is that you can connect with LB.
Yep.
And for most people, it seems to work. And then there's a few that says like, oh, I couldn't get it to connect. And even the guys from LB said like, I tried 3 accounts, and 1 it worked and 2 it didn't. And
as I said, again, it's these technical things, but I could say that I have been there also, and I have to remember the password or forget the password. Mm-hmm. So now I try to get it into, because I've had that also, but that's probably a settings that I could change. On Podverse, when I send a boostergram, Albie's asked me like 10 times for the different splits.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you agree? Do you agree? Do you agree? Do you agree? And a bling, bling, bling. And it's a safety thing. And I could probably check mark something. But also to log in, sometimes it's getting in this strange loop and you're out and in. But I agree, because in a way it's a safety thing, because this an LB wallet is real money. Of course, I don't have much on it, but I mean, it's very lots of security things and so on, and it should work, right? I have, in order, when I was topping up with fiat currency, the first time I used Blue Wallet.
Yeah, yeah.
And the second time I tried to do it, it didn't work. And I sent an email, I sent a Twitter, no response. And then it was something about, how to say, Sundown or show, they were closing down something, but I don't know exactly.
Okay, yeah.
So now this with MoonPay is working.
Yeah, yeah.
It's lots of things in place in order to get it. And as Adam is saying, the regular person or average Joe or Mr. Smith or whatever don't know how to do this, but they want to feel secure and safe and no strange...
And it's interesting, like the first version of Podfriend, I used something called LN Pay for the streaming. And what was really good about that was that I could abstract the whole idea of wallets and stuff away. You just had a Podfriend wallet, a bit like Fountain, like you have your own wallet there. So you didn't need to connect anything. And with LB, then you have to go off into this like third-party space and create a wallet and fill it up, and then you come back and connect it. And I think I'm going to explore, going back to the roots and where newbies, you know, they just have a wallet. And then if you're a power user, well, then you can connect your LB wallet
That's good.
And do that.
Because again, that's, I mean, you shouldn't put everything, you know, eggs in the basket and whatnot. And if it's really a big amount, you probably should have it on your secure keys or cold keys or whatever they call it. And I'm not there yet. But with Albi, it's nice that you could have use several apps and it's connected to the same. Because that's the thing, if you have one wallet here and one there and another there, it's starting adding up also. But it's interesting how this should synchronize and play around. So it's nice to see what you're working at that, and especially the synchronization. So could I then put you on the spot a little bit when I did a search on Pod News Weekly Review?
Mm-hmm.
I search on the podcast. I want to be open to get the guest and don't do... In a way, I'm doing research and so on, and we have known each other a little bit. But I wanted to listen, because you have been on Pod News, right? With this long episode. It was Mark Eskowitz, and it was somebody else and you, right?
It was Oscar Mario from Fountain.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was one of the latest episodes, and I tried to find it on Podfriend. I didn't find May 12th.
Yeah, so interestingly enough, it was actually because Sam Thethy, I think, made an error because he added it to the season one instead of season two.
Okay, that explains. That's easy to do. I have done.
So it's not a fault of Podfriend at the moment. Yeah.
So hear you out there, Sam Thethy. And it's funny.
I think he did fix it now, actually. I don't know if... Like, maybe I'm cashing a little bit too hard there. So for you, it still shows up on season one. I'll take a look at least, because of course it should rearrange itself.
In a way, it's good, because then you could start, as my co-host of our podcast on tea, called, and that's a play with words, so I say it in Swedish, produktivitet, how to be productive and drink tea. So it's a made-up word in Swedish.
Yeah.
But my co-host, he said, you should start from the beginning, and then you learn the development of a podcast and the discussion and how you develop the podcast. Mm-hmm. And you could also, because when you start podcasting, when you look back, you always say, oh, the sound, or how did I talk, whatnot. But you have to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I like at yours default is the oldest first, right? Because
so that actually changes. If the podcast have several seasons, then it will start with the oldest first. But if it's a podcast that has no seasons but just a long list of episodes, it will show newest first, because I'm making the assumption that if there's seasons, you want to start with the oldest first.
And
if there's no seasons, then it's probably like a news style, like Pod News or something, and then you want to probably listen to the newest first. So that's the logic I have built in. But if you change it once, you know, then it will remember forever.
I don't listen to so many, even if I have co-hosts, but we have season, but that have been season for different ways. Maybe you have a theme. Mm-hmm. So one called Viktigt på riktigt in Swedish, important for real, with Karin Coach, that's a master certified coach, ICF. Mm-hmm. So now we are season 7. So every season has a theme.
Yeah.
So in the beginning it was the senses, it was the elements, and now it's about very much about her coaching and also podcasting and how it's intertwined and how it could work together. And the networking, so the guests have been often in different business networks and how they have meet each other and how you could, for example, use LinkedIn or whatnot, but also how podcasting could help you in different ways. So it's very interesting way, and that have developed over time. So after every season, you could take a little break and a breather and plan ahead, because and I have challenged that also myself, having a podcast and not, you know.
but it's like, you know, you mentioned that there's, you know, 4 million podcasts out there, and some of them are active. But, you know, as I said, you know, I listen to a lot of true crime. I listen to a lot of investigative podcasts and stuff. And also, you know, some podcasts that are about, you know, as you say, coaching or something. So they are evergreen. You know, it doesn't matter if they're active. You know, if I find them, and I start them, you know, from the first episode, it still gives me value. Yep. And, you know, and as we talked about the value for value, why shouldn't I stream value to them? Like,
I see the opportunity there. So do you want to talk about, because in a way there is no such problem as this discovered problem. I know Rob Walsh at Libsyn saying that it's word of mouth. Mm-hmm. But for small players, it's hard to reach out. Often in, you know, mainstream media, we only talk about, I don't know how it is in Denmark, but in Sweden, it's often these, you know, celebrities they are talking about or the big names. It's hard with the independent podcasters, but you could do it in guerrilla marketing in different ways. You could reach out.
Yeah.
But you have one that recent plays and also popular or something like that. Could you explain, is it so-called an algorithm or what's playing there when you log in?
So, yeah, I mean, the trending I actually get from the podcast index, it's basically based on, you know, how many people download across the new podcasting 2.0 apps. So that's like, that's some generic popularity. And then I have the latest listened in Podfriend, and that's only from people that are logged in. Then you can kind of see, it's because like the next step for me is to create lists and friends, like so a bit like Facebook. So, you know, I can follow you and then I can have, like, let's say I make a list that called true crime or something. Then I can have like latest listened by your friends in, you know, true crime. So it becomes much more social. I think In some areas, you know, Fountain also does it really well. You know, you can see, you know, who boosts what. I definitely want to introduce some of the same things in Podfriend. Yeah, because I really believe there is the power in like community. But I do also believe, you know, sometimes it makes sense narrowing down. Like, hey, I want to see what my friends like, but within this category. So I'm definitely going to be doing a lot more work in around like how to discover podcasts and using the other people listening on Podfriend to create smarter things. But I'm never gonna make algorithms that will keep you on the platform.
Privacy thing,
No. So I will definitely make it either opt in or opt out, so that if you don't want people to know what you listen to, like you shouldn't be forced to contribute to that. But if you're like, hey, I don't care if people know, because then it also becomes one of those things where, you know, I can see that you listen to, you know, podcasting 2.0. And if I don't know the show, then I'll be like, let me see.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Will you get like a similar to the Fountain and also Podverse? You get like a profile, a public profile also. Fountain is even with the clips and things like that. Podverse is more also about the clips and what you are subscribing to. I think I'm not sure about that, but will that be also that I will have like podfriend.com/ username or profile name or something like that, or an ID number or something like that?
Yeah, 100%. So I actually already coded that. Well, some of it, like an early version. So it will come. Like, I have a lot of things that are like 50% done. And it just needs the last bit. You know, it's one of those things that, because it is a hobby project, I can work on, you know, if I just get an idea, I can be like, hey, what would this look like? And then of course, to actually release it, it would need more time, like more polish.
There we have something that I interviewed on my first podcast, or Ego Netcast, that I started in 2006. I interviewed a guy there, with, he was one of the first employees at Libsyn, and he has created an app for iOS, and that is called Backpack Studio. Now the name again, but Philo Watt is his name. Then he also, he had this live thing, but it's more like a radio thing. You had to, what was it, white, I don't remember, but you had to hook up something. It was a bit technical for me, but you could do that. So that's interesting to see where we come into this. And he had this roadmap, he had some ideas and thoughts what people wanted to have.
But then
he asked, it got, of course it could be that people who are eager, they could push their own agenda or what they want.
Yeah,
and then you have to decide yourself also. But do you have any? How did you come up with this live item tag then, lit?
So the lit, it's actually very straightforward. It's because every time, you know, I listen to Podcasting 2.0 live, I had to use a different podcasting app than my own. And that just felt like it hurt my professional pride. So it's like, I have to implement this. So yeah, I did. And then for a while, I could just listen on the Podfriend beta, like which was, I was the only user. And then, you know, now it's released and everyone can use it.
And you did a good guerrilla market there also. You did a huge boost there, a boostergram when you went live.
Yeah. I actually felt like I took like a year break. So, you know, I was extremely active in the first part of Podcasting 2.0, to the point where I probably burned out a little bit. My wife and I, we bought a house. There was a lot of work to do there, and I got a promotion at my job, which, you know, seems like a good thing, but it has, like, it eats a lot of your free time in the start. And I just had to prioritize. So it wasn't even like conscious. It was just, I didn't have the time. And then coming back, like I every week I still listen to the Podcasting 2.0 shows. But then when I came back, I was like, hey, you know, I got a lot of value for those shows and I didn't actually boost very much. I did boost a little bit. So I felt like, hey, now let me make a few big boosts to make up for it.
Mm. And that's good. And I did that also for, in order to get really to show support, but also to get this, that I'm no so-called to joke, but serious at the same time, Podcasting 2.0 certified, because I have a t-shirt now. So.
Oh, I actually have that as well. I should have worn that for this interview. Yeah, I love it.
So I like that. And now I put that as the tagline on LinkedIn, that I'm a supporter of the Podcasting 2.0 initiative. Because I'm an international project coordinator. I had that as an education also. And and in a way, a project is something that you start and then you finish and then you have goals and so on. But initiative is that it's never, in a way, ending. It's already in the beginning, but it has a great history and tradition or whatever experience to build on. So now it's interesting to see, is it open? Is it closed? What's RSS and whatnot? And again, the listeners don't really care. No. But if we explain how important it is for the future and the opportunity. So that's why I want to listen now when I know where it is on season one or two on Sam's head when you talked, because I had a short introduction, a solo show about pod fans. And I also had a demonstration with Sam, and he was very, you know, nice and going through the whole thing, and I was asking all my dumb questions.
Sam is great. Yeah.
And now I've updated it. So there I really, when I saw that, I saw, wow, this onboarding, both regular listeners could earn satoshis. Then could so-called cash out, whatnot, but especially they could support and get into it. And you could then discover a new podcast, and it's this gamification in a positive way.
Yeah.
So I really see that. I mean, so you have really thought about it. But of course, again, I said that another place. I thought that about Podchaser. I really liked that idea, and I interviewed one of the co-founders there. But now when I think about it myself, how often do I log in on Podchaser? But I still like it very much, because there, everything that I've listed as a co-host or producer or whatever, I'm listed. So then I could show, I have a profile here. I have both a content creator profile and I have a user profile.
Yeah.
And now they are bought by this, you know, big Swedish Acast that have a player back in the day. Now they don't have it anymore.
Oh, they don't? Oh, no. I haven't actually seen that.
That's a story for itself. But we could talk about that maybe offline. My ideas about why we did that. Because it's, again, more power to you, Martin. Because it's not easy to do an app.
That is certainly true.
So, but we will see how it will turn out with Podchase. Because I think it's a really neat idea. But again, it is, will you do it on a daily basis? And what could you use it for? And with PodFans, that you could earn something from it by being active.
Yeah,
I really see that. And again, friendly competition. I mean, Podchaser say now owned by Acast that they are for so-called this open thing. So now we'll see. And they are even, I think, in this, you know, standard podcast project, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I really see. And I like, again, what Outspoken Adam and Dave, they say what they think.
Yeah, yeah. And that, yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, a lot of the bigger hosting companies, you know, they're great, but it's the same with, you know, Apple Podcasts and Spotify, that I think, you know, there are probably engineers there or product managers or designers that would like to make some of these things that we're doing.
Yep.
But I know that as soon as a company reaches a certain size, it becomes almost impossible to make something like new and fun, like quickly. Yeah. It becomes like almost like designed by a committee. And
yeah. And in a way, I wonder why Google Podcast didn't, you know, do anything more, because they have that philosophy, so-called. Like Gmail was come up with an employee that worked on his own project. And why shouldn't they? But it's something that is, I don't know, they have some issues there, but potentially they should have been able to do it. But what I like is lately this WordPress org and this Matt Wollenweg, this foundation, has bought Pocket Cast, right?
Mm-hmm.
So very.
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, and this is pretty popular app, both by Apple users, but also Android users. And they had the premium feature. Mm-hmm. And they are, I mean, they say that they are into this and wanted to go there. And that could be really, because they have maybe a few percentage. And again, I mean, as I said, one of our podcasts, The Secular Foxhole, when this OP3 thing that we added, Jan Spurlock's thing.
Yeah, it's great.
At the recent period, Fountain was on the top list together with Podverse. So I want to see PodFriend there too, and everyone I want to
I
see.
I do too, yeah.
And it doesn't have to take much. And then you decide yourself, and you could see that the different podcast apps could be used for different things. So if you have time, we will do some, you know, quick and hard questions here about the journalistic thing, you know, the W's. Who, what, when, where, and why. So, who, and we have talked about you as a person, but who are you as a developer? Would you say what kind of type, or why do you do this kind of thing?
Yeah, so I started programming when I was like, 12 or something, on my dad's computer, and you know, started early making. Like, I think my first project was a web chat, actually, you know, with a frame that refreshed every now and again.
Yeah.
And I honestly, you know, it's a miracle.
Did you use
like
Commodore
that,
and Amiga? And,
No. So that was actually when the internet launched. Like, I think my first programming was on DOS. It was like, you know, bat files in BASIC. And then as soon as the internet came, I started to learn a bit of Perl, and that's what I made the first web chat in. And then I think I probably made one of Denmark's first social media platforms. It was called trendy.dk, and it was even like promoted in the TV and stuff.
Did
and
you do a good exit and laughed so all the way to the bank?
So I wish, but I made the worst kind of exit possible, and that was, I had a really popular website.
Yeah.
And you know, I was 15 years old or something. Yeah. And I had this idea for an amazing version 2.0.
Yeah.
And what I did was that I made a new front page on trendy.dk that said, you know, stay tuned, version 2 is coming soon. And I actually turned off the old website because I wanted it to make like, okay, a really big splash.
Yeah.
And then version 2 took forever to build.
Yeah.
And then once I was ready, of course the users had, you know, forgotten all about it and left. Like there were some, like there were quite a few loyal people and some that even said like, you know, hey, we found each other and, you know, I started dating because of you. That was cool. But it never gotten around to be as popular as
That's a...
as in the start. No, and then I transitioned into building like some software for actual businesses and enterprise. And I was lucky to, you know, get some of the biggest companies in Denmark as a client. Like, it was mostly for businesses, exclusively, but it was a content management system, so it also had, like a lot of consumer-facing parts to it. And I learned a lot about usability and, you know, design and stuff. And it went from just me until I think we were 14, 15 people. I like to say it went really well until it didn't, because the market just got absolutely saturated. But I would say during those years, it was over 15 years, I learned a lot about how you can spend a lot of time developing something that then no one ends up using, or how some things you develop, you know, that might only take a few hours, everyone uses. And that's what I use now in my career as a product manager. Mm. And so in my day-to-day work, I don't program anymore, but then I program every single evening at home with Podfriend. And yeah, so what kind of developer am I? I'm the running fast with scissors, but still wanting to make something really solid and user-friendly. It's actually a little bit against how I normally do it to release something that I feel is unfinished, which I did here with the Podfriend 2.0. But I just felt like, oh, I need something out there. I need, instead of saying, you know, oh, next week. Next week.
In a way, it's, I mean, whatever we think about, like Facebook nowadays, I mean, that's how they do it also, this spaghetti method. They throw it on the wall and see if it still, this poke thing is there, but who...
it's just hidden. Yeah, yeah.
So that's great. So what is you're doing? We have talked about that, programming and what Podfriend is. If you would tell, a new podcast listener, what is Podfriend?
Yeah, I mean, Podfriend is a podcasting app where you can, you know, you can go in and you can start listening to audio dramas and documentaries and coaching podcasts. You can find, you know, everything audio related there, you know, just with a quick search, and then you can start listening. And then what I usually say is great about Podfriend, or will be now, you know, once I have the desktop and the mobile app, is exactly that. If you I used to listen, like, if you want to listen on a mobile phone, like while you commute or walk the dog or, you know, mowing the lawn, then you use the mobile app. And then if you want to listen to podcasts while at work, like then you can download the desktop app, and then you can continue exactly where you left off. And that's also, the version one had some of it, but not great synchronization. Mm. And I could just see that I found like a niche there. Like the most users of Podfriend were actually using the desktop version, which was quite surprising because almost none of the popular apps like have a, well, okay, I say that, but of course Apple Podcasts have it and Spotify have it. Mm. But a lot of the indie apps, they don't have a desktop version. So I felt like I hit some kind of niche there, and I hope to use that a bit more.
And I like the app also, but I also like to listen on and log in on a web browser in order to do other things at the same time.
Yeah.
And also that have been pretty popular because some of the apps like Apple Podcasts, they take some time to start, and also Spotify. Even if you have a new computer, it's like starting to...
yeah,
scrolling in the background, it takes so long time, and it's very clean and neat. But there you also have this, do you want to say, and we probably do a follow-up with that, this chat thing, but also how we could you said about Mastodon, in the long run, to continue a thread with a chat that you could be searched and you could be found. And this is, I mean, for me it's a bit mind-blowing. If it will work, it's the old good old days about blog comments. In a positive way. And if that will work, this cross, and I know it's lots of technical thing, but not if, but when it works, it will be amazing, because then what you're putting in, like a curator or like a lurker or a commenter, that could be something worth also for the conversation. As I like the expression, adding your two cents to the conversation.
Yeah, I think it's just another way. You have done a neat way
with the bubbles, and so it almost like it looks like this, you know, right? The iPhone chat with the bubbles.
Yeah, exactly, and that's of course that's on purpose that I want it to look like a chat. So that's the transcript you're talking about there. Once we
the transcript that's even better in a way. Yeah. So so how do you set that up? The transcript is that. Is it when you log in on the web also, or is it that you have to download the app?
No, you can actually use the web, but you just right now we're reading it from the RSS feed, so it's only from the podcast that has the transcripts.
Yeah.
And in the future, I actually talked to Sam about this in the Pod News weekly, that I would love the idea of, you know, people being able to, let's say, boost PodFriend, and then we would automatically generate the transcript. And then I heard the next day that Fountain already did that, or in the new version. Yeah. So it's really interesting. And I didn't know that Fountain had that planned. So I think we're getting a lot of the same ideas. And it also just shows that it's such a field where, you know, innovation is just happening so fast.
Because I see the transcript, even if it's not 100% right, and it could have a hard time to, if I say Lindeskog, your name, last name, for example. And then, of course, is it worth to go in and change this if you can? Or as I'm using Olotu when I'm doing editing and post-production, they have a really neat transcript service, but it's all, you can't do so much. You upload this what is called an SRT file, because that's what I see. It's working, but you could have text also and others. Mm-hmm. But it is lots of work into this. So and it will evolve over time. But the market will, you know, in one way or another pay for it, because it could be accessibility, you could be searchable, but it also you have to do it, like similar that this chapter thing. We do it for one podcast called Presentation Skills Q&A, because we have a short podcast format there, like 5 to maximum 10 minutes, and choose maybe 4, 5, 6 images. And that's doable. But I'm so impressed, like, with, of course, they have help with No Agenda and others. But to do all this transcript and chapters, that's lots of work to do.
And you can see that's really the power of, you know, building a community around your podcast. I know that it's, you know, Dreb Scott that typically does it for both No Agenda.
And he gets a bit of a split also, but he's very good at sending boostergrams also and competing. He put me off on this big top list on Fountain, I think, one time. Yeah. I was almost winning something, you know. They had these giveaways.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, oh, that's funny. Yeah, I have a theory that he's sending more than he's receiving.
I'm here too. But it's all good, because it will come back to you, and it's very nice in a friendly way, marketing. You do it, and you get the connection. So I really like what you have done. So I definitely have to check out the transcript, because if it's in a neat way, both accessibility, but also in a neat way, if you want to search for something, like when I'm now doing clips, because that's what I like with Podverse and Fountain, then you could search for the transcript. When did I say, when did I send this boostergram? And then you could do this ego boosting by yourself, but also you're adding something to the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you could turn out on Twitter, whatnot. And I think that's a pretty, so I did that recently on the latest episode of, this viktigt på riktigt, important for real. Then my co-host Karin, she said, this should be a clip. So I did a clip of that, because it's like a teaser or trailer of the episode. I think you should listen to the whole thing, of course. Yeah. But if you do it in a nice way, it could be like, I think of you, maybe you should listen to this episode. Here is a short 1 minute clip, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And this technology to do that, that's again, it's somebody has to do it, right?
So yeah, exactly. Yeah, I definitely also want to add, for example, clips to PodFriend.
Yeah.
You know, we also have in the podcasting 2.0, there's there is a tag for like a clip that's a trailer or something.
Yeah.
That's definitely also something. It's like there are so many ideas and stuff. You were talking about a roadmap earlier. Like I have a a thing called a Trello board, where you have a little almost virtual card for each task. And I think there is over 1,000 items on that board, with just ideas. So I definitely will not run out anytime soon.
No, that's good. Yeah. So when we come to the when also, I mean, when you are doing this, and you had said that it's like a side thing, and when you hustle, but also a passion project, and you get like a kick off it, and so that's great. So and where, we know it's like in Denmark and Copenhagen, and mm-hmm. do you get lots of feedback around the world, like input, and you got like contacts and connections by doing this?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I typically get a lot of feedback when I do a new release, and people try it out, and then day to day, I'll get when I do a new release, I'll get a lot of feedback from people that just try it, and then it balances out. So in the normal time, then I'll get a lot more feedback about the everyday experience from those people that use it more as an everyday thing.
Because I mean, I'm doing it for my own reasons also, because I seen it, but then I understood your situation in a way, and mm-hmm. when I heard the good news, and we will end on that note also, how we got to know each other a bit more, so that I mm-hmm. thought was neat, that you now I want to test it again when you are doing this new version, but then you could work you could work behind the scenes. I know, like Ringer, that was one of the first apps that you could have several guests on a podcast on audio, and that's lots mm-hmm. of technology in order to work, right?
Yeah.
But on their app, they haven't updated for a long time, but they do these small things in order to make it more stable the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it could be enough to have like one bad review, and then others are coming, catching up, so to speak.
But
then you could also be happy with, we have found our market now. We have found our audience and our client base, and that's good also, because it's
what I could see was that before I took the break from podcasting, I could listen to a lot of podcasts, and then they would say like, oh, this boost is from this person through Podfriend.
Yeah.
And then when I hold that year break, during that year, it would still come, and then at the end of the year, it would start to drop off like that. Then it was all Podverse and Fountain. And I was like, oh, if I had just been able to develop that whole year, it would have been such an amazing app. But sometimes you don't have that luxury. But I definitely hope to, it's what you said, like the friendly competition.
Yeah.
And it's also, I think, all the smaller apps, we steal ideas from each other. Yep. We see what's working.
Borrow ideas or getting, because
like what is the quote that the great artists copy, but good artists copy, but amazing artists steal, or something like that. Yeah,
yeah. As long as you give credit, that's credit's due, and I think that's important. And that's why the why thing here also, when you have this journalistic thing. So again, I think probably guess the answer, but why are you doing this?
Well, so first of all, it's, there's the American expression, like dog fooding, like using your own product.
And I definitely person, do that. I say that also, eating your own dog food. Yep.
Yeah. And I definitely do that. Like I use Podfriend myself, and then when I'm suddenly like, oh, I wish it could do that, it's like, well, I can make it do that because I'm the developer, and that's awesome to have that freedom. But I guess there is still like this small pipe dream that at some point it could make it big. At some point I could make it good enough that I could get that 1% of listeners or something.
That's good that you're now saying it on this small podcast. You never know.
You could exactly
come back 5 years later and say that, because it's not an impossible thing. I mean, it is 0. whatever, and then it's good. As I said,
we can see that, of course, Apple Podcasts have a big listener
base. But it's like a default, because it's already on your phone, right?
Exactly, but you can't, for example, say that about Spotify. They started from nothing.
But they had a huge advantage with the music app.
Oh yeah, but I mean, back in the days with music, they started from nothing,
right?
True. And of course, yes, then the transition into podcasting, and they had that step, but. Like, oh, that, yeah, but that
they,
advantage.
And
but,
also they got support from the record industry. I mean, they saved the record industry from a pirate base and others.
that is true. That's
true, that's the backstory. But, and it's fascinating story, yeah.
But there were probably 10 other companies that were trying to do something like it. And, you know, someone has to win. And I think with the podcasting apps, there's so much potential.
Yep.
But you also have to be really good if you want users that just listen to some audio drama to actually change from, let's say, Apple Podcasts to something else, you have to provide something unique. And I think right now, you know, we do have the 2.0 features, and that's enough for some, like that they, you know, can support users, that they can read chapters and transcripts. But I think for the majority of users, then we have to do something really unique and probably in the discovery realm, like how people find podcasts. So. Yeah. That's at least my gut feeling, and that's why I'm, you know, moving PodFriend a bit. And also, I think Fountain actually has it right about also going the social route.
Mm.
That's definitely also something that I'll be looking into, because I think discoverability and social, you know, then your friends will say, "Hey, have you tried this podcasting app? Like, then you can see what I listen to and stuff." Yeah,
and I think
that's actually one thing that I do get a lot of questions from my friends, like, "Oh, I want to listen to a new podcast. Can't you recommend something good?" It's like, it would be great if I just through PodFriend just could say this,
yeah,
you know, try and send it to them as recommendations. That's definitely something that I want
and
to.
And that's what, in a way, you know, Apple, and in a way, they maybe don't need it because that's not their business. But they tried a social called Pling or Plig or whatever, and that didn't turn.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Like, that was mostly for music, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
but still, yeah, if you use the app, you could see your friends what they are listening to. But it's not, and before you could follow artists directly and so on. But yeah, they have stopped that also. But with Spotify, it is about the whole thing about creating lists and sharing lists and party music, whatever. And so they have been good at that. Again, is this battle of ideas? You could say, do they have an agenda? What do they really do? Let's talk about that. And let's have a, you know, conversation, even debate, discourse, and also, you know, get out there talking about that, because I think that's interesting, what's playing out here. So that's interesting. And talking about that, the why also, but also where you are. Do you know podcastconsult.dk, Karin Hög, an old, one of the earliest podcasters out there?
I don't know her, actually.
She,
no.
She had, or she still probably have a studio in Copenhagen. And I met her I visited there. And she's very nice person and a great podcaster. And she has a podcast shop selling equipment and so on. So
I did go and meet the people behind the Hindenburg.
And that's fascinating that the name Hindenburg, the Zeppelin, that crashed. But that's a very good program.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it was in a way overkill. So I have this $1 version, but then of course you have to upgrade if you do all the bells and whistles. And then I was so happy about when Ali 2 was coming around with Colin Gray, that is a professional podcaster and have podcast service and all this around. And also content creator for a long time. He written long blog posts and article and guides and so on. And then he saw this, that not everyone is, you know, studio technician or sound engineer or know how to use GarageBand or Audacity. That is so-called, in my view, user friend, or as I could, of course, it's only learning how to learn about it. But Hindenburg is great.
It actually reminds me, but before this show, you know, this is the first time I use this microphone for a podcast. Yeah. And before the show, to set some of the settings, I called up one of my coworkers and I was like, okay, how does it sound now? Okay, let me just like, yeah, and what about now? And then we found a good setting.
So knock on wood. And I have this Röde and that I like and like the style. But again, I don't know if it's exactly the right settings and so on, but you have to test and you have, of course, the shiny gadgets, it's probably one microphone out there, Martin, that's your name on it, but you haven't found it yet. But then again, it's just do it also, as Nike is saying, to start. And that's what I like also.
Exactly.
So that's great too. And we have this with Copenhagen is CPH, you know, the airport, but in Gothenburg it's GOT. So got milk, have you heard about that, you know, expression?
Yeah.
So that's something to think about. And talking about that, we have talked about drinks and beverages and whatnot. It was a funny, and that, of course, was this really live thing. So I think that was kosher to do. But we were playing lots of music at one episode with, you know, Adam, the DJ. And we were trying to get into the, you know, boosting and this Two Unlimited.
I remember.
And the No Limit song, that was fun.
Yeah.
So, and I have had several, again, but what I want to tell artists that I have had as guests, like Rosalla, for example, and others, I have had like 10 different artists now on my Ego Netcast. And it's interesting to hear about their story and career, but also how to make a living, you know, the concert, merchandise, and also how to get paid by when they are streaming and the challenge is there. So I really see, probably it has to be there, as Adam is saying, its own app in a way. Again, as you say, it's hard to mix and match.
Yeah,
but it could be built with the same technology.
Yeah, I do plan to make like a switch, like have music in Podfriend as well. And then, but I plan to have it like where you switch it, like, now I go into music mode or now I go into podcast mode. But I do believe you're right. Like if I wanted to make sure it was the most successful thing possible, I would make it its own app.
Yeah.
So that's definitely the right way to go. And I think, you know, Steven is going the right way with making the Ellen Beats. I think he just needs a little bit of a help from a designer that could really put some like a nice skin on it.
Yeah, and you said it because I'm not the designer, but I could see what I see, right? And again, it's what you have in your mind, so that could be good, like a focus group and bounce things back and forth and get this positive, constructive feedback. And I think that's interesting with the split, what you could do.
So
again, it's to reach out, and I like what Adam is often saying that, and also Dave also, how could you help? So that could be, now we have been chatting for a long time and I've been babbling, so is it, how could I help you, and how could the listener help you with Podfriend and others, and anything else that you want to end on as an end note?
Yeah, I mean, anyone can definitely help just by using it and giving feedback. Like I have people that ask me, hey, is it okay if I send you an email with an idea I have? And I'm like, yes, I love ideas. Mm. Like, because that also shows like what people are thinking about how they're using the app, what they're thinking it should be able to do. I mean, I can't promise that I will implement each and every idea, but I will definitely, you know, take it into account. And then, yeah, how else can you help? You can help spread the word, let other people know that something like podcasting 2.0 apps actually exist. And it's not just, you know, Podfriend. It's also all the other apps out there.
That's great. So,
yeah.
Thanks again, Martin, to coming on the show, and nice talking to you. And we'll see how the live was going. And again, then it's this editing and post-production and show notes and transcripts. And so we'll see when we'll be up on the air. But if you have any input later on or something, how we could work together here, so you're more than welcome to also send me an email and we'll continue our conversation. And thanks again for your time. It was great.
Well, thanks a lot for having
you.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, and talk to your partner about tea also as an end note there. So,
yes.
So thanks again, Martin. So now I'll click on the. So now you have to wait for a second, and I will click on the stop recording.